We're here with Hiran from Battlecross.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good, man. So, as you know, just on a visual level, I see you're not of the Caucasian persuasion, as a lot of people in metal seem to be. You know, as well as I. How's it been for you? How's your experience been?
You know what? No problems, man. No one's ever really been like, oh, you know, what nationality are you? Like, you know, it's. And not that that's a problem. It's just no one's ever really, like, acknowledged that side of it. So it's cool, man. It's cool just to see people, like, taking it for what it is and not really looking at that and kind of looking past, like, what we are as a band, you know. Not, oh, they got that one, you know, Sri Lankan guitar player or Indian guitar player or whatever, you know. I've gotten, people have asked me before, but there's nothing wrong with it. And, you know, I don't feel like it's a struggle or anything, you know. We just go out there and do our thing, and it's cool to see fans. I've had other fans, like, from, like, India and, like, Sri Lanka, like, hit me up on Facebook and stuff and be like, oh, it's, are you from Sri Lanka? And that's so cool, and, you know, that's inspiration. And so it's cool that, you know, people are kind of catching on to that as a way of, like, you know, oh, I see you doing it, and, like, that gives me inspiration that I, you know, I have the same hope that I can do what you're doing, you know. So, but honestly, no, man, everyone's super cool in metal. I think everyone's pretty accepting overall. You have your general idiots, like skinheads and stuff like that do come to shows, but I think it's kind of any sort of genre has somebody that's just an asshole. That just goes with anybody, you know?
Yeah.
There's always a group of assholes and a big group of cool people, so, no, man, it's all good.
Yeah, like, I've had my only experience, I've been in it for a while, too, and it's like my only experience always been with more like my family and my friends are the ones who have me, like, hey, what are you listening to that for? Shouldn't you be like, I like instruments, I can't help it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, music isn't about what color you are, it's just about the heart and the passion you have for it, so, you know, it's cool, man. It's cool to see people, like, into that thing and not single out anybody for being different. Because, you know? In a sense, we're all kind of different from the norm, right?
Let's talk about the band.
Sure.
So is this the official third release from Battlecross, or how do you guys count it?
Because it's the official second release.
Because
the first one, which is Push Pull Destroy, was like a self-release album, and that was essentially Pursuit of Honor. And Push Pull Destroy just had our old vocalist on it, so we just had their vocals redone, and we released that on Metal Blade's Pursuit of Honor. The only song that changed was Caleb. Caleb was written by, you know, Kyle. So, but yeah, War of Will is our second release, for sure.
Cool, cool. Since you're like one of the main original cats in the band, how has it been with the lineup changes? You know, like now it's like you're onto your second, third, fourth for this tour so far.
You know, Tony and I, the other guitar player, we basically started this band back in 2004. And we were a different lineup then. We sounded a little different. And, you know, it just comes with the change and the progression. And, you know, this is a very demanding sort of... it's very demanding. And so some people can either do it or they can't. And you kind of have to figure that out as you go along. And some people realize I can't make the sacrifice to tour. Or they just... certain things just don't work out to where you mesh anymore with that person. And, you know... on the flip side, it kind of sucks because, you know, it's nice to, at one point we were like a solid foundation of a group of us, you know, and it was like, everything seemed like it was in order, but things happen, life goes on, and the thing that I'm most positive about it at all is that, you know, we're moving forward and we're finding the right people, you know, and we're not, with the different drummers that we've had, it's all it's been is getting help to do tours and shows because we're not settling on anybody until we really, you know, are for sure, like, this is the guy that's going to be in the band. And they have to want it too, you know. Having a drummer come in, they can't just kind of come in and go, okay, I'm in the band. It's like they come in and they have to, like, feel it out just the way that we're feeling out their situation with us. So, you know, going on tour with drummers is a really... it's a good way to, like, really figure out if someone's going to mesh well with the band, you know. You can be a great player, but if you don't mesh well, then there's no point, you know. So, so far things have been, I mean, Shannon did our record, and he's back with, he's kind of coming out of retirement, I guess you should say, because he left
Black Dahlia
about a year and a half ago. So he's been out of it for a while, and he's kind of wanting to get back in and start doing some shows, and we'll just see how it goes, man. You know, nothing's solid yet, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. So.
So, like, when you guys write, do you guys write collectively, or are you like, I write by myself, or do you guys jam it out?
Usually, it starts with, like, an idea. Like, you know, someone maybe writes something at home or has some riffs, and we all kind of collectively write, like, you know, individually, the three guitar players, as far as, you know, Tony, myself, and Don, will write something, and then we kind of come to the table and say, this is what we have, this is the idea we have, and we work on it together, because... sometimes songs turn out where one guy writes everything and we're like, yeah, cool. Like, no one has a problem with it. Like, this sounds awesome. And other times it's like, okay, change this and, you know, let's figure out a part here. Like, you know, this doesn't sound right. And sometimes you sit on things for a while and let it kind of develop. So we're very open-minded to collectively writing, and we don't feel like one person has a say. It should be everybody agreeing. So sometimes that can be difficult, but at the same time, it's cool because it gives everyone a chance to throw in their input. So, and that's where, in a sense, the unique song kind of comes in, because everyone's kind of got their little hands in it or their style into it. So,
so was this record mostly written before the drummer situation came about, or
we had our old drummer with us, like, writing, and then we also had, like, some pre-production drums that we had worked on. So, like, we had the riffs written and we had pre-production, like, program drums on it. And when everything kind of went down, we were able to, like, send Shannon the tracks with the, you know, with the demo drums on it, and then he was like, okay, listen to it, got the basic idea. And then in the studio, you know, he would write and change parts too, like, oh, you know, let me try this, or let's do this, and I'll keep that the same. So in a sense, the foundation was written before, but I would say in the studio some things were changed and written. So, and even for the guitar parts too, man, you can go to a studio, and that's what's cool about working with an awesome producer, is that they kind of step in and say, try this, do this, take out this part. And they're really kind of giving their outside opinion on songs that maybe you're not thinking of it, you know, so.
So what the hell we got here? You guys have been on the roads. You guys have been pretty much road dogs for the last few years.
Yeah, we've
like,
been...
Like, does it take a toll on, like, you know, the personal lives and family issues?
A little bit. I mean, it's exhausting. You know, touring is very exhausting. It's, you're out there every day, you know, you got the same routine, you're traveling, you know, especially when you're in a van, you're driving yourself, so you don't get as much sleep. So the comfort level's not there. And, you know, for the most part, yeah, like, you miss, you know, some guys are married, you know, Gumby has a kid, so it's like, you know, you miss the wife, you know, you miss a girlfriend, whatever, or you're just like, I just miss being at home, you know, because sometimes, like I said, you just kind of don't have those normal comforts away while you're on the road. But at the same time, it's like, you know, all the positive of touring, like, outweighs all that stuff, you know, just being able to tour with awesome bands, like, you know, being able to do these shows at Guar is awesome, you know, being fans of the band and being able to share the stage with them and going out with other cool bands that we like and getting to know them and just playing for the audience, you know, meeting new fans, meeting people that are into it, you know, it's cool, man. It's just it's a good feeling. Everything, the shows are honestly the best part of it. Like, this is why you do it, is to play live. And that's my favorite part of being in a band, is playing live, performing, and just having fun, man. It's awesome. I love it. So
cool. Since you guys are still, I guess, a relatively young band in the scope of things, like, what places have you been to that really, that was like, oh, I love being, you know, it was like, since you've probably seen some parts of the world, what place impressed you the most that you've seen?
Well, you know, we've only been through the U.S. and Canada, but definitely going out west, it's gorgeous. You know, the mountains, and going out, California is beautiful, dude. California is gorgeous. Oregon,
I hate the
Washington.
Drive. Up there, that drive is a bitch, though.
Yeah, yeah, going through Canada in the winter sucks, but Canadian fans are awesome. Very diehard and dedicated. So, you know, you see some cool scenery and drives, and that's what's kind of cool about touring too, is you don't get to see, like, you know, when you travel, you fly in a plane, or maybe you, you know, you take a certain road to somewhere, driving or a bus or train. But when you're touring, it's like you go through these back roads sometimes where you get to see things just you wouldn't normally see traveling. You know what I mean? Because most people are, like I said, flying or whatever. So it's like one destination to another. But here is an adventure while you're going from one destination to another, and you see cool stuff and stop at weird truck stops and things like that. So,
yep.
You know, it's cool, man. It's a cool experience. Touring life is an experience that most people don't get to do. And so, you know, it's cool, man. I look at some of my laments I have. I'm just like, man, like, this is, if I, you know, everything fell apart today, I could be like, look what I did. Like, I did this. Like, I was, you know, went on tour and I played with these awesome bands and I played music for people that loved it. And, you know, that in itself is awesome. It's a good feeling, you know, so.
Yeah, like I like to say that. Oh, definitely landmarks. Like I missed, I saw, but I wish I want to go back through there. When we left, I drove for a band, and we went through San Francisco to Portland. And on the way, there's like a dragon somewhere in Portland. I think it's at the end of San Francisco or at the beginning of Oregon. Yeah. There's like this dragon on like the right side of the road. I'm like, what the fuck is this weird ass?
Yeah, like what is this?
I'm like, it happened so quickly. Like I noticed I couldn't pull over to stop in time. Like I gotta take pictures of this.
But right.
It was just like, fuck the mountains, yeah, mountains, dragon. What the fuck?
Yeah, sometimes you see this cool stuff and you're like, damn, I wish I could stop right now just to take a picture of that.
How long do we have to get to the next gig? Yeah. All right, we got 5 minutes. Come on.
Yeah, it's cool, man. Touring's a cool experience, and you know, it's got the dirty side and the, you know, the unglorious side of it. But I mean, shit, dude. You know, most people would kill to get that opportunity. So yeah. You know, you definitely don't take it for granted.
So what are the future plans for next year? Like, the 2003 is almost over.
Yeah.
2013 is almost over.
Yeah.
You know, what's the future look like after the Guar tour?
After this, we are doing some dates at the end of January before we leave to Europe. We're playing with a band from Toronto called Crimson Shadows, and then we go to Europe at the end of January with Killswitch Engage and Trivium and Miss May I. So, yeah, we're going to be going most of the UK. We're going to hit, like, Dublin and Ireland, or Dublin and Belfast and Ireland, and hit Sweden and France. So it'll be our first time going to Europe, which we're excited about. And then after that, we got some festivals coming up, too, in the summertime, like Download. We're doing Download. We're doing Nova Rock. We're doing, what else are we doing? Grass Pop. Nice. So we're doing some awesome festivals. It'll be our first time over there doing this stuff, so we're just excited, man, to get over to Europe. Extremely excited. So,
any plans for a new video, or are you guys holding off?
We have something possibly in the works. We're gonna hopefully try and do something. You know, maybe before the European release, or before we go to Europe, but probably after those shows. So we'll see how much time we can fit in. I think the idea is to probably try and do a video, but we'll see. You know, depends on time and money.
Gotcha. So let's get a quick gear rundown, since we're coming into the NAMM season. So what are we working on nowadays?
I have a PV6505 Plus, and I'm running a Mesa cab, the Mesa rectifier, and then I'm playing ESP. I just got my two, like, first ever ESP models not too long ago. We're endorsed by ESP, but we were getting LTD lines for a while, and then we just got our ESP, so I got two Horizon models, which are awesome. It's the FR2, and then the other one, I can't think of the name, but it's awesome. I'm bad with, like, model numbers and things like that, but yeah, so I'm playing the ESP guitars, and nothing too crazy as far as the setup. I pretty much run the distortion straight out of the amp. The only thing I add is a delay and a EQ boost for my leads. That's about it, man. And I run the distortion right out of the amp. So
cool.
Yeah.
So I guess, do you use like a similar, I guess, for your home studio stuff? I guess for like a Pro Tools guy, or
no, man. Honestly, I'm not too tech savvy on that stuff.
Oh, okay.
I actually just what I'll do is I use Reaper, and I just use the little mic that you plug in your computer, and I mic my little Crate amp, and I'll just write ideas on that. I do have Rock Band on my iPad, so I've been looking to, like, record on that, and then just do, like, some drum stuff on that, and start working with that, because I'm not too familiar with, like, programming drums, but I've just started to kind of use that, Tony's really proficient. He uses, like, you know, Reaper, and he's got a whole little setup he does. So he's kind of like the mastermind, like, demoing and writing stuff. So I usually start with riffs. I'm just like, I'll sit there and set a metronome speed and just start playing guitar. And I'll record my sessions, because sometimes I'll just play and I might play something then forget it. So, but actually the funny thing is I recorded a riff. I went back to listen to it. I'm like, I don't remember how I played that. And it was cool. I was like, that is a cool riff. And I fucking don't know how to play it.
I hate when that happens.
It sucks. Oh, man. So I need to, like, play it more when I have, like... Because some, like, one day I was just, like, playing guitar, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to record something. And I just started fucking playing. And I played and played, and then I was kind of like, all right, I'm done. You know, and I walked away from the net. A couple days later, I'm like, I'm going to go back to that song and see what I did. And I don't remember it, so. I still haven't recorded, so I need to try and figure it out.
So you guys play pretty fast. Like, is it... Like, was it like, is that one of the harder parts of trying to, like, link up on harmonies? Or, like, all right, I'm going to play this solo, or you play that solo, or you guys ever have those?
No, it's usually, like...
The song needs a solo.
Sometimes, you know, we're just playing a song, and then someone's like, you know, I feel a solo here. Have at it. So sometimes it could be a song that I wrote, and then, like, Tony's like, you know, I'm thinking of a lead here. Okay, cool. Have at it. And then sometimes, a lot of the times, when we come up with leads, it's always, well, Tony writes a lot, so it's usually, he'll write leads for his songs, but then... I'll usually, sometimes if he writes a song, then I'll throw, like, yeah, I feel a lead right here, so, you know, it's just whatever we feel, man. Like, we don't try to push it, we don't feel like we have to play a lead on every song. It's just like, the song calls for it, and it feels right, then do it, and try something, you know, and we try ideas, and that's the thing, too, with, like, writing, is, like, being open to trying stuff. As a band, you have to be able to be open to that, because as soon as you kind of shut yourself into, like, oh, we have to do this, only this, we're not going to do that, then it's, you're kind of, like, limiting yourself, you know? There's certain things we won't do, like, we're not, you know, Tony and I were like, we're never going to write some, like, ballad where it's, like, clean singing and stuff. Like, that's just not us. Like, not that there's anything wrong with that.
We'll see
just,
in 5 records. We'll
come yeah, yeah, right, yeah. You'll call me out on that.
I was like, remember?
yeah, right.
So why we decided we had nothing else to do. We've done it all. What's left? Let's try our foot at this.
Our attitude isn't to do that. You know, we don't want to be that. I want to be, I mean, my overall, like, idea of this band is to be hard-hitting from nonstop, you know. So I want to have that attitude in what we do. And I don't have anything against singing or anything like that. It's just the band that we are, I don't see us doing that. But, you know, other than that, it's just, like, trying different things and being open-minded to different ideas. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, you know? And there's no harm in trying something, you know?
Do you have ideas for, like, maybe, like, oh, it's, like, something non-Battlecloth? Do you have, like, music that you write that's non-Battlecloth that you may use for a future solo project or side band or whatever?
I do mess around sometimes with ideas, but I never really, like, go far with them. Sometimes I write something like, it's not really Battlecross. Try not to do that as much, but there's some things where you're just like, that just does not fit. Like, it just would not be us. But I don't know. I really should probably start recording more of my stuff that I just write, because I don't know. I have so many ideas for different projects that I would love to do. I play drums too, but... not very well.
Oh,
but.
So you're one of those guys. Oh, I hate you already. It's like, yeah, you're cooler now. I don't like you anymore.
Not that
like,
good. Trust
I'm
me,
a drummer. I can't play guitar to save my life. You know, I can play you know, play 138 on bass. Like, that's as far as I can get. I'm like, do. Like, I feel awesome. I'll rock out to that song.
I need more practice, but I had a little, like, side grindcore band with a friend of mine. He plays guitar, and whenever we get a chance to jam, we'll jam. But other than that, man, it's just like, I love so many different styles of music, and, you know, it'd be cool to have time to do all that stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
How does it feel when you, like, when kids, like, come up to you and, like, oh, I'm inspired by you? Like, does that, like, give you more fire? It's like, oh, man, I learned how to play because, you know, you wrote a song that I really wanted to learn how to play. Does it give you, does it, like, motivate
yeah,
you
man,
more to
that's,
play?
That's the most gratifying thing to ever hear. Is somebody coming up to you and saying, man, like, you inspired me to, like, pick the guitar up again. Like, or you just inspire me as such a player and I look up to you. Like, that, to me, is, like, you know, if you do that to one person, just to have, to say that your music did that to somebody is the best thing, in my opinion. as a musician. You know, the greatest compliment you can receive, because that means that you inspired someone to, like, you know, either go farther with their instrument or actually pick up an instrument or do something with themselves that is out of the norm, maybe, that they never thought they could do or they wanted to keep doing what they... Because as a musician, you want to see the creativity in people keep going. You know, I always tell people, I'm like, do what you love. Like, don't fall into the trap of, like, I need to make money and it's, you know, I need to find... Like, yeah, of course you need to have a job and you need to make money, but your life shouldn't be based around that. Your life should be based around what makes you happy and what you love to do, because otherwise you can make all the money in the world, but if you hate your career, you hate your job, you're going to hate your life. And then everything else, all the materialistic shit, is not going to matter. What does it matter if you have a big house and a, you know, a nice car and this and that, when your career is your life and you hate your career? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So people need to, like, really not worry about little things like that. Like, yeah, it's money. You're in debt. Yeah, you're this. But at the end of the day, you're alive, and this is your life.
You're happy.
And you gotta be happy. You gotta, like, find something that just... Because you know what, dude? I'm doing this, and I'm fucking happy. And I love this. I come home. I still live with my parents. You know, I don't make money to, like, afford my own place. You know, hopefully I get to that point one day. I'm hoping.
Just a little better cost to be able to, you know, get to that level where...
Where it pays the bills and it sustains our way of living. But until then, it's like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to make every sacrifice because I love this. And you know what? I get to... Yeah, I'm home. I don't have my own place or whatever, but it's like, I come home and it's like, I just went on tour. You know, I just did this. I did this, you know, and... Those are experiences and stories to tell that, you know, not a lot of people can share tell.
You put effort in towards achieving your goal.
Absolutely,
in the long run.
And it's cool
to
see...
Sacrifice now, hurts now, but, you know...
You'll pay off later.
Pay off later, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to be eating ramen noodles this year, but next year, you could be eating mac and cheese. You know,
right, right, exactly, man. No, it's... And that's cool to see kids inspired to do something with themselves and be like, you know, I want to play an instrument. You inspire me to do this. It's, like I said, it's the greatest compliment, because you're lighting that fire in them, and then they're lighting the fire in you, saying, wow, I'm really making a difference to somebody. You know, I'm not just playing guitar in my room. You know, it's like, once at one point you were just self-satisfying yourself. Now you're self-satisfying yourself along with satisfying all these other people, and that's... awesome, man. It's awesome.
All right, now, real more quick.
Sure.
Who got you in? What made you want to play? Who was that for you?
My inspirations would be Dimebag Darrell, of course. I'm a big Pantera fan, so Dimebag, Tony, actually my other guitar player, man, him and I were best friends, and are best friends, and grew up together, and just, you know, that little... competition you have between your friends, where you see your friends playing guitar so much better, and you're like, damn, he's fucking good, I gotta practice, you know, and playing in a band with him, and him being so particular about things that I don't hear, and pushing me and saying, you're not doing this right, or, you know, and you get frustrated, but you're like, you know, he's right, like, I know he's right, because I know how he plays, I know how particular and
anal
he is about stuff, so it pushes me to get better, pushes me to practice harder, and, you know, and there's, you know, a lot of local bands in the Detroit scene and Michigan scene. As a kid growing up, you know, that's kind of where you start out seeing some bands, going to local shows and just seeing bands play, and it inspired me to be like, I want to do that, I want to play music, and I want to be a part of this, like, family of, like, musicians. So, yeah, man, there's, you know, just the bands that I listen to, and I hate to always single out one guitar player, even though there are, you know, guitar players that do inspire me. It's like, overall, I think a band inspires me, because what the band creates, not just one guy, it's all those people together to make what is made, you know what I mean? Like, when you think about the music you listen to and the bands and stuff, it's like, you know, Metallica isn't just James Hetfield, you know, he didn't go out there and just do it himself. He had these other guys in the band that helped create what, you know, and same with Iron Maiden, too. You know, you have all these guys that are part of something so big, and it's, you're not just a fan of that one person. That person might inspire you, but it's like, as a whole, that band made a difference. The band made a difference, not that one guy, you know.
How was Orion Fest? I forgot about that shit. I totally forgot.
That's
about
it. You're cut off. No more questions. No.
Damn it.
No,
it was
Orion,
fine.
Orion was awesome, man. That was incredible to stand next to one of your biggest influences and, you know, one of the biggest bands and just, I mean, dude, I was in total awestruck. I mean, it's fucking James Hetfield. Holy shit. And he was so cool, man. Coolest. And, you know, so on top of meeting Metallica, it's like we get to play in our hometown. And the show was awesome. James Hetfield and Robert Trujillo came out, introduced us, and what a weekend, man. It was fucking cloud nine the whole weekend. Even when we didn't play, we went to the festival just to watch the show. It was just like, it was fucking awesome. One of the best festivals that I've ever been to. So, and I heard they really emulated it off of Europe. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh fucking, yeah.
Fucking
definitely
stoked for that, man.
The whole
diversity of bands.
It's so diverse.
Yeah.
It's not even funny.
Yeah.
It's cool. Scarily diverse for American. But, you know, if you see over there, it looks normal. But
yeah,
like,
that's what they're used to.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, man. Like, so many people are so, like,
closed.
Oh, why are they playing with that band? And this and that. It's like, you know what? At the end of the day, like, those metal bands being able to play with bands that are bigger than them, that's a good thing. Like, I don't know why people think that's a bad thing. It's a great thing because you're giving, your band gets more exposure to people. You never know if there's some fucking fan of, like, I don't know, Asking Alexandria or something that may never have thought to listen to a band like Slayer or like Iron Maiden or something, and they go to a festival to see their band, and then they see these other bands are like, holy shit, what am I missing out on? You know what I mean? Like,
I went the opposite way. I saw the Orion Fest last year, the first one, and I ended up leaving liking Arctic Monkeys and Best Coast. You know, it's like, I'm there for all the metal stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is kind of, I liked it.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Exactly.
You know, I can respect it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the metalhead, and you might be like, oh, I actually like some of this other stuff that's not metal, you know? And it's like,
go to the concert with a hat on, don't look at it. Don't get recognized.
But you know what, dude? And that's what's cool about Europe, man. Like, everyone's just music fans. There's nothing wrong with being a music fan. And, you know, you don't have to be put on this facade of, like, I'm a tough guy. I don't listen to metal. And, you know, nothing else but metal. Metal or die. It's like, of course, like, metal's like my favorite music. I'll always listen to metal over everything. But, fuck, there's other types of good music out there. And don't feel like you have to limit yourself just to put on an image. You know, so I say fucking play with any band, and as long as you don't compromise who you are as an artist, what does it matter if fucking Battlecross opened up for Justin Bieber? That would be fucking awesome. Can you imagine playing fucking art, and, you know, just being who we are, doing that for Justin Bieber fans? That's kind of why you play this music, is to fucking...
And you're guaranteed at least 100 of those kids probably be like, I kind of like that.
Yeah, they might. You never know. But I'm just saying that you just never know who you might inspire out of that audience. So.
Cool, man. Thank you for your time, man.
No
I really
problem, dude.
It.